Good morning. This is really strange having this. I was actually really quite nervous coming in to share what I'm sharing this morning. I don't know why. I mean, I do sometimes, usually get a bit nervous, but this was even more so than usual. But I was very encouraged because Dorothy's words sort of quite links in with what I want to share this morning and some of the words that have come through. So anyway, you're in for a little treat. I've got a short video that even the children will enjoy. Hope you will enjoy. I loved it in a little while. But I actually really want to talk to you about Enoch. And I had a I don't know when it was, but at some stage way back before we were married, you talk to friends or Ian and I think we're engaged, and somewhere along the line in conversation, as you have, just getting to know one another better and that, he said, "So who's your favourite person in the Bible?" And I said, "Enoch." He just looked at me like, "Enoch." And I went, "Yeah." He goes like this, four verses in the Bible about Enoch, and he's your favourite character. And I went, "Yep." He goes, "Why?" I went, "I don't know. I've just always loved Enoch from when I read about him." For those who don't know, Enoch is in the Old Testament. He's also in the New, I found out later, in Hebrews. But there's very little that we know about him, except for the fact that the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was no more, for God took him to be with him. And that's the verse that struck me when I read about him. I read that verse as a teenager and I went, "You know what, God, I would love that to happen to me. That's so cool. That's just so where it's at." And anyway, so it just went, I've heard people talk about lots and lots of characters, but I have never met anyone whose favourite Bible character was Enoch. I'll read you a little bit about him in a minute, but about probably 10 years down the line, Ian's reading a book. I think it was called The Secret Place, but I'm not 100% sure. This was quite a while ago yet. And he came across this thing and he ended up photocopying it, putting Enoch on it and giving it to me. And I'll read it to you. "A man looked across a big open plain, rolled up mantles lay all over the ground. As the vision continued, he said, 'I saw the mantle of Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, and Amy Semple McPherson.'" For those of you who don't know who those people are, they moved in amazing healing miracles, just radical, radical, miraculous things. You know, people who can't walk, walking, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing. Smith Wigglesworth, one of his favourite stories about him was one time when he was staying at a assistant pastor's house, and the Lord told the assistant pastor to ask Smith Wigglesworth to pray for him. And they'd shared and they'd stayed and they'd had a meal, and before he went to bed he said to him, "You know, would you pray for me before you go, and do you have a word?" And Smith just said, "Go and buy some shoes tomorrow." And this guy just goes, "That's a word? Like, right. Thanks, God. Is he really from you?" You know, he's really angry. So anyway, he just has this argument with God all night, and the next morning God said, "I told you he would have a word for you. Are you going to do it or not?" So he takes himself off to the shoe shop and waits. He's the first person in, and the guy, and he says, "I want to buy a pair of shoes." And the guy says, "What size?" And he goes, "I don't know." And the guy goes, "What do you mean, I don't know?" And he showed him his thing. He's just got two stumps for his feet, so he's got no feet. And so he says to God, "What size?" And he says, "Pick one." So the guy says, "The size 10 sound good?" And this guy's going like, "Yeah, sounds 10 is pretty normal." So he goes and gets his shoes, and as he puts his shoe on, his feet grow. That's who Smith was. So I'm not talking about Smith Wigglesworth, but that's one of my amazing stories. I mean, it took faith both from Smith Wigglesworth and the guy. Imagine being the shopkeeper. You know, but you need to know that as I read the story. This is who these people are. I saw the mantle of Elisha and Elijah and all the greats that had gone on before us. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, take any mantle you want. What do you want? Pick it up, take it, any of them. The man said, oh, I want Elijah's. Oh, I want to be like Smith Wigglesworth. You can imagine that, can't you? And have great faith. The mantle of John G. Lake, oh my, the mantle of Elisha. Think of that anointing. I could pick up Catherine Kuhlman's. Think of that anointing and move in great miracles, or Martin Luther's, and be part of a great reformation. Then suddenly he saw a bright glow come up from the ground. As he looked down, he saw another mantle which spoke to him. Enoch walked with God so intimately that he was not. After seeing the life and the anointing of Enoch, he made his decision. Before all the power mantles, I'd rather have the presence of the Lord. Then he picked up Enoch's mantle. And isn't that just what it's really all about? Isn't that just amazing? And so my husband 10 years later goes, I know why he's your favorite character now. But, you know, before the power comes the presence. It's all about relationship. That's all God is after. You know, these great men and women of God moved because they had an amazing relationship with God. But the one that glowed the most was Enoch, who walked with God and was no more. I mean, the only verses are that he was Jared's son. One of his sons was Methuselah, who he had at 65 in Genesis. And then it said, after that, Enoch lived in fellowship with God for 300 years. In those days, they lived a little bit longer than we do and had other children. And they're the only other verses except for Enoch walked with God. And it was no more, for he was taken. Let's read you. In Hebrews, in the Good News, it said, it was faith that kept Enoch from dying. Instead, he was taken up to God, and nobody could find him because God had taken him up. I want to know how they know. You know what I mean? But obviously, dude, the scripture says that before Enoch was taken up, he had pleased God. The Passion Translation says it like this. Faith lifted Enoch from this life and he was taken up into heaven. He never had to experience death. He just disappeared from this world because God promoted him. For before he was translated to the heavenly realm, his life had become a pleasure to God. So his life had become a pleasure to God. I know that deep down that's what we want, isn't it? That we want to become a pleasure to God. I do. I know many of you do. And you know what? The main thing is, though, that God wants to have that pleasure with you. You know, like Dorothy said, is that he just takes us as we are. I was just thinking even before, you know, I was standing next to Jonathan and I just had my hand on his back. And the Lord said, you're excited because he's here. I'm always excited when you're here. I'm always excited when you're here. He feels towards us more than we feel towards our kids or anyone we love. You know, that's how, when we, you know, we often, I don't know, we've grown up in an age where a lot of the church has taught that it's all about getting right with God, you know, almost perfection, righteousness, like they're all important. But we took it so far that we've read it from our worldview. And our worldview says that, you know, even when you read about Enoch, he pleased God. Often we will think about all the things he did, right? You know, Enoch must have been a righteous man. He must have tithed. He must have read whatever was around. You know what I mean? Like when we think about pleasing God, we often think about our service to him. You know, what we do for him, how much we read our Bible, how much we pray, all those things, because we've grown up in a spiritual world where it's so those things are important, but then we interpret everything through that. And it just says that he walked with God. When you walk with someone, you're just hanging out. You know, it's not about what he did for God. It's that he delighted in hanging out with God, in taking pleasure with him, in having a cup of tea with him. God wants to be part of everything. And Colin last week talked about just chit-chatting, you know. A few of you are aware of some of the things we've been going through, we continue to go through. And you know what? Sometimes it's really hard to spend that time in your word that you need. And it's important that we spend that time. I have spent a lot of time reading the word, and I know a lot of it. And Ian's much, much better at chapter and verse. I think when we first met, I'd say, where's this verse? And it'd be like, you know, almost as bad as knowing where John 3:16 comes from. I knew that one. There was probably 10 verses. I actually knew where they were. But if I didn't have my Bible, I couldn't find most. Because I go, that verse is in the top right corner. It's underlined in gold and it has pink over it. And I could find it for you if I had my Bible right now. But I know what it says and I know where to find it in my Bible. But this isn't my Bible. Where is it? And I think he was just like, she doesn't know where that verse is. But I don't, and I still don't know where most of them are. But I know his word. And it's about the reading his word. You know, one of the most important things about knowing God's word is that when we hear someone say something about God, we know whether it's true or it's not. You know, like if people tell me stuff about the boys or about Ian, about something they did or didn't do, sometimes I go, yeah, that sounds about right. You know what I mean? By what they tell me about them. And then sometimes people will tell me stories about them and I go, nah, you know what? You must have got it wrong, because there's no way my boys or my husband would have said or done either of those. And if they said that, the context is totally, you've just like overheard a snippet of something they said, because I know that I know that I know that they wouldn't have said or done that. Do you know what I mean? And when we know God's word, then we know when the enemy's lying to us, either himself or through other people, because you go, no, God is good all the time. You know, we know God is love all the time. God wants me to hang out with him. He doesn't send me into a corner for forever. He does discipline me. You know, there's times when I feel like God wants me to go into time out. Sabina, just look at the wall, stop, think, then come back. You know, but it's not for his sake. It's not that he wants to punish me. It's that he wants me to stop and think, because if I keep going the way I'm going, I'm going to make things harder for myself. But he doesn't keep me there forever. He just gives me a minute there. Do you know what I mean? Anyone relate to that? Yes. You know, that God sometimes gives us time out in whatever way, shape or form. He disciplines us for our good. You know, we have this amazing picture of this God who loves us and who's a father to us, who so loved us that he sent Jesus to die in our place. And we don't know how much that cost him. No matter how much we think we know that cost him, we don't know how much that cost him. I remember, guy who started YWAM? Lauren Cunningham. Lauren Cunningham. They were on the way, him and his wife were on the way to Mexico, and they have this car crash, and she's lying on the ground. She's unconscious, and they're in the middle of nowhere, and he thinks she's going. And he starts to pray for her, and the Lord says, Lauren, will you follow me no matter what? It's a tough thing, isn't it? And he says, you know, it's not quite what I was expecting God to say. That this is before this amazing ministry he had, and we don't know why God challenges some people like that. And he said his first response was, God, you don't know. You don't know what it's like. You were never married. You know? And God said, no, but I had a son who I gave up for you, and our relationship is closer than any marriage. And I was willing to give him up for you. Now, Lauren, will you follow me no matter what? He says he just fell down and cried. Within 5 minutes, someone turned up. Out of nowhere, got his wife to hospital. I mean, they think it was probably an angel in disguise out of nowhere. And he was on his way. And why God chooses to do that, make us make those hard calls, I think the person was already on their way. You know, I don't think God was trying to be mean. But we don't understand how much God gave up for us. And having given that up, he just wants to hang out. He's not trying to punish us. He's trying to win us back. He wants to hang out. He wants to have a cuppa. He wants to walk on the beach with me. Someone had a picture of me back on the beach with my cap. And so I've shared before that not being near the beach is a really, really hard sacrifice, but mostly because that's where I hang out with God. I always have. And whenever I get a chance, I still do. And it takes 5 seconds for me to reconnect if I'm going through a hard time, if I walk on the beach. So God's word is important, but it's mostly so we know when a voice is saying, oh, you're just not good enough. Because that's the enemy. Because he's trying everything to say, to do or say anything that will stop us from hanging out with God. Because that'll break his heart. And the enemy is just trying to break God's heart. And the only way he can break it is by touching us and keeping us away from him. You know, he wants to hang out. And so if we listen to those lies that, you know, you just blew it yesterday, so you better earn your way back, then we're making things worse. We never have to own our way back. We never can. He already did it all. We just have to say, I'm sorry, I blew it. Let's move on. Let's have another cup of tea. Let's have another cup of coffee. Let's go for a walk on the beach or in the woods. So there's that. The other verse is also, you know, like when we think about verses like, for God can do immeasurably more than anything we can ever think or imagine. Most of us don't find that hard to believe. You know, if we just look at creation, we go, he can do anything. God can do anything. You know, I'm one of these people who actually believes that it probably happened in 7 days. I've never said that in this church before. But it does it in the end. I think, you know, there's this verse, there's this little picture that I really like, comic book, and there's this two kids talking, and this boy goes, you know, the Bible says that it took God 7 days to create the world. And the other little kid goes, it took him that long? It's perspective. It's not why I'm talking about. We don't have problems believing that God can do any immeasurably above and beyond anything we can ever think of imagine on the whole. What we have problems with sometimes is, will he do it for me or through me? It's not that God can't, it's will he? And the only thing that will answer the will he is that we hang out with him and hold his hand and let him love us. The thing that will bless God's heart most is not us loving him, but actually us letting him love us. If you've a parent, grandparent, if you have just people close around you, you love, husband, what, you know what? We love it when we can bless those we love. And the hard thing is when they don't want to be helped or they don't want to be loved. Isn't that true? And if we, it says the Bible, if we who are sinful know how to give good gifts, how much more will God? You know, so it's actually easy when you stop to think about what would I do, and yet I'm not that good compared to God. It's easy to think, no, he wouldn't treat me like that. He would want me to hang out. He will want me to just say, Lord, I've got nothing to give you today, but here I am. And that blesses God's heart, just that you're willing to say, here I am, and sit and have a cup of tea and wait. I've spent a lot of time doing that lately. Here I am, God. Yet again. And he goes, well, that's good. Come more often. You know what I mean? I think I'm doing it too much. And he thinks, just keep doing it. That's what I like. You know, when we're also in a relationship, there's two things that happen. That it's the stuff that we go through together. Stuff that we go through either binds us closer or pulls us apart. Is that right? So it mostly depends on communication when you're going through something. It's often not the bad thing that's happening that either draws people together, families, couples, friends. It's how we each respond to that thing. So if we open up and communicate, it often draws us closer, even when we go through hard times. Because it's something common that we've shared together and we've made it through together. Yes? But if we pull apart and go, I can't handle this, and shut down, that's when a lot of the problems start and we start to go, nobody loves me, nobody cares. You know, where are my friends now? Well, actually, you shut them out. Right? I'm still here talking about our relationship with God. So when tough stuff happens, that's when how we respond to that will either draw us closer to God or pull us away so he has to keep pursuing us even more. When tough stuff happens, if we go, God, I can't do this anymore, but here I am, gets him all over us. You know, this morning I was struggling, but as you know, I've shared this time and time again. Paul sings joy, and I'm going to go, I'm going to dance, because joy is not dependent on how I'm feeling right now. And within 30 seconds, I'm so in God's presence here with you guys. You make it much easier when I'm with you than when I'm on my own. You know, I do that at home. But when I'm with you doing it, there's just something extra in the presence of God, of family celebrating, even though you're not dancing with me yet. Yet! The other stuff that brings us together is doing stuff that we enjoy together, right? So if we're going through really rough times or we're just going a so-so time, if we don't hang out and spend time doing fun stuff, it's also not so easy to keep relationships going, right? Like even if it's just watching the same movie, playing game, going for a walk, having coffee. So enjoying stuff together. You know, looking at a rainbow or a sunset and going, wow, together. Pulls you together, doesn't it? It's just, again, a common experience. Watching kids playing. I don't know about you, but I love watching kids playing. And God wants to hang out with us. And He wants to talk to us through those things. Because the other thing... Sorry, they have to be somewhere. The other thing that God, that we've done, I think, as a church, is that we've isolated. This is church. This is Bible study. This is a group. And that's when and how God communicates. But how much time do we actually spend at those events? They're important, again, like reading his word. But he mostly talks to me whilst I'm doing stuff. You know, whilst I'm going for a walk. Whilst I'm watching Jonathan skate. Or watching Caleb take some amazing photos and I look at his work. And I learn not only about them, but I also learn about God, because that's when he talks to me. That's when I'm relaxed. That's when I'm just enjoying. And he'll go, well, you know what? I really like that picture too, because. And again, God wants to enjoy stuff with us, not because he wants to control us, but because he just wants to spend time. I mean, it's all, I'm sorry, boys. But, you know, some of my boys are better than others at this, and that's keeping in touch even by texting and saying, I've arrived, I'm good. So out of the three of them, one's really good, one's not so good, and one's meh. But, you know, and they know, it's not about me wanting to control what they're doing or where they're up to and what they do. I just want to know they're safe. I want to know how the event they went for them. And I want to be able to join in with part of their journey. Do you know what I mean? So they are getting better at it as I tell them this. But it's the same with God. You know, he wants to hang out because he just wants to be part of the journey, not because he's checking up on us all the time. Very good. Right? Sometimes it feels like he is. Sometimes I'm sure for my boys it has felt, at least in the past, like I am checking up on them. So, are you there yet? Yes, sorry. It's the same with God. He checks in. Do you think he doesn't know we got there? You know, like God who sees everything, who knows everything. Does he really need us to tell him that we got there okay? Or what's going on inside? Do you think he might know? Again, it's uncanny as parents, isn't it, that we often know what our kids are going through even when they say nothing? Or our spouses, just because we know them that well? I mean, if we can, God doesn't need that help. He actually knows. But what's he wanting? He checks up because he wants to be part of the journey. He wants to be included in every part of our lives. And that's whether it's a tough time or a good time. He wants us to walk with him, to hang out, to chit-chat. And you know what? When you're going through a hard time, it's much harder to chit-chat if you haven't done it in the good times. You know? We have to be practicing all the time when everything's going good. So when things are really tough and we'd like to hide it all in, it's easier to chit-chat at those times because it's just what happens, what you do. So he wants to talk to us while we're watching something. Just recently, I was watching a movie. And God, well, it's just a short. And God spoke to me about something. And then he spoke to me about lots of things as I was watching. And it's just a movie. It's just a little short. It's just something that I was enjoying with my family. And then I felt like God was enjoying it with me. I don't know if you've had that experience, but he talks to me like that all the time. He talks to me in anything we do. So, you know, that's what relationship with God is about. He can talk to you through a kid's movie. Not only can he, but he wants to. There is so much in that. You could do like 10 sermons on different parts of that movie, you know, about why he pushes us, about how, you know, the waves always seem bigger than they actually are, about him getting us distracted by caring for something or someone else more than by our fears, so we actually get to the water, by seeing the world from someone else's perspective, and how it was all about, you know, the mum bird wasn't being mean. She was trying to bring joy and freedom. There's so much more in that. I don't want to go into that, but there's some of the things that God spoke to me about through just, you know, those unexpected moments with God. If we treasure those things happen more and more. You know, because that's what he's after. Are you going to listen to me? Like, you know, are you going to be looking at your phone while I'm talking to you? That's really real today, isn't it? Yeah. Or are you going to have your eyes on me? And actually, are you really, really interested in what I'm saying today? Because sadly, we do. I mean, I fall into it, live in a world where we're talking to someone, but actually half our eyes are, what text has just come through, or wonder what's on Facebook, or, you know, we do that with one another these days more and more, don't we? We do that with God so easily. He wants to talk to us, but we get distracted, and obviously it's not physically the iPhone that we get distracted with, but we're watching a movie. And do it if we go, let's watch it together, God, or just learn to chit-chat, then he can talk to us through something as simple as that about so much in life that we're going through when we're least expected. And that's what I that's what I love about him, that was really, really important to me at the time I watched it. And that it just took that. You know, it didn't take 3 hours reading his word at that point in time for me to get the message. 3 hours reading his word is a really, really good use of time. Don't get me wrong. Because we can't not read his word and hope to stay knowing who he is and who we are to him. But we have to include him in the everyday, or we miss out on so much richness in our relationship. You know, what, 5 or 6 minutes that clip was, and it would have taken me a few hours for him to actually dictate that to me. But because my spirit, can't we? In our spirits, we can take in so much more than our heads can take in. And I don't even have to remember the story to feel the impact when I'm going through stuff again. So it's so important that we hang out. The funny thing is that in Finding Dory, we actually saw that before we even saw Finding Dory. Yes, we have seen it. We see all the animated movies, pretty much. They're our favourites as a family, as a whole. In fact, it's really funny because when we were first pregnant with Corey, our youth group, some of our youth group said, oh, that'll just, once you have him, they'll give you an excuse to go and see all the kids' movies. And all our leaders went, they already do. That's what we do on our day off. It's like, what have you seen lately? Beauty and the Beast. But in that Dory movie, we watched it, and then I was chatting to Corey on the internet, and we were talking, and he said, have you seen it yet, Mum? And I went, yeah. He said, you know what? This is a spoiler. This is a little spoiler. I'm not going to give you the big spoiler because my sons told me I was not allowed in case you want to go and watch a movie. But there's one bit where there's an octopus in it, and he's going along a wall. You know, octopus can change shape and change colour and everything. He goes into a sink and presses a little button, and instead of turning on the light, he turns on the incinerator. You know, for those of you who don't know, it's a thing that chews up all the rubbish, you know, that's in the sink. And so it's like a blender, but not so good. And he goes, and turns it back off. I'm just telling you that because it's just like this split second scene. And unless you guys don't have them, but do they in America? Garbage disposals. But they don't seem to be that common here, but pretty much every house in America or down under has it. And I saw that, and when I was talking to Corey, he goes, "Mum, do you remember the part where Hank goes into the sink?" And I went, "Yeah." He goes, "I knew that'd be your favourite part." As soon as I saw it, I knew you'd love it. Why? Because he knows me. We hang out. And God, who knows us so much, knows what even bits in a movie we're going to like. And I don't know about you, but when our boys were little, we used to put their favourite films on TV, and we wouldn't watch that much. We'd just watch them. Because we'd go, when it came to this bit, they were just going to laugh. Or, you know, because kids can watch the same movie and laugh the same way every time that scene comes on. Right? So we learned to watch them in particular scenes because we just delighted in them delighting in what was happening. And that's what God does with us. Believe it or not, he goes, because he's seen the movie before it was made, I reckon. But he goes, she's going to love that. You know, just like Corey said, he's going to love that scene. And I won't tell you the other one. I'm not allowed. But the stuff in that, it spoke to me. And so he, you know what? That's why he wants to hang out, because he wants to enjoy. He's not going to watch the movie. He's going to watch us. Mary, he's going to watch you. George, he's going to watch you. Say, I know what he's going to do when that comes up. Because he knows us. He wants to hang out. So, Enoch walked with God, and obedience is easy when you know that you are loved. Let me say that again. So many of us beat ourselves over the head about being obedient to God. And actually, one of the main remedies, besides knowing his word and knowing who we are, is that we hang out. Because when we hang out, we learn to know that he delights in us even on our worst day. He still wants to hang out. And when we know that we are that loved, obedience is much easier. Could still be scary. Right? Like that wave that looks so big, it's, you know, so good, like, and it just sort of barely touches the little shell. But even on a hard day, if we're walking with God, if we're hanging out, then it'll be so much easier to be obey. Because it's easier to know, to follow someone if you know you're that loved. Just last night, a phrase came to me. You know, like those of you who've been at church for a while, and it still says, you know, if you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? Right? There is some truth in that. But last night, the Lord said, I never moved. I go with you. There's still no distance. Very good. There is never any distance. When Dorothy walks away, Holy Spirit hangs around. He doesn't interfere if not invited to. But he's still there. So when she turns around, God's already here. He's not back where she left him. He's not back where I left him. You know, if you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? You both did. You're just not connected at this second. He stays that close regardless. And he's just waiting for us to go, let's go and have a cup of coffee. I'm sorry. Let's go watch a movie together. He hasn't moved. He never will. He promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. And that means hanging out the whole time. We can... He holds us in the palm of his hand. And it takes a deliberate choice on our behalf to say, I don't want to be with you. And he will respect that, but that's the only time. Because we're just having a hard day. You know, when things are not going well with the friendship, if it's a valuable friendship, you'll hang in. You'll go, they're just having a bad day. I'll try again tomorrow. I'll try again tomorrow. Hey, I'm still here if you need me. Hello. If we can do that, how much more is our loving Heavenly Father going to stick close, ready, for the second, the split second, there you go. We'll know where he is. Here I am, whopping waiting. So let's go out into this week and into the Christmas and into the rest. Let's make an effort to chit-chat, to hang out, to walk with God and see what happens. Thank you. Bless you.